The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All hail Emperor Biden. All hail Emperor Biden. That's kind of what the feel was to his speech last night. A non-political speech, by the way, everybody, just in case you didn't get the memo. That was not a political speech. If that wasn't a political speech, I don't know what it was. The entire thing was political. It's just... That was definitely the worst presidential speech I've ever heard. The most bizarre presidential speech I've ever heard. Possibly the most divisive presidential speech I've ever heard, coming from the man that said his presidency was all going to be about uniting the country, which most of them say that. But oh my goodness, unbelievable. So I've got reactions to that. Kevin McCarthy, Trump himself, and then today, Biden taking on a slightly different tone, because I'm like, how are you this stupid? How are you this tone deaf? How are you this ignorant? Who's running that place? We know it's not Joe. Who's running that place? Well, by the way, this is Steve Noble. Welcome back. Hope you're doing well. Looking forward to a three-day Labor Day weekend. I won't be in on Monday. Just going to be chilling out with my fam. And so I hope you do the same. So a three-day weekend is going to be nice after this. Holistic speech from last night, which was really just remarkable. So I'll get through this the little article here from the Daily Wire. I'll get to this. The soul of Joe Biden's America is dark as hell. And then Biden walking it back just the day after his angry speech. Bill O'Reilly had a good little short little column on that. And then this was great in The Federalist by Jordan Boyd, a sharp young gal there. Am I allowed to say that? Gal? Did I just trigger you? Don't really care. Biden's democracy. I mean, I do, but I don't. I don't really. Biden's democracy lecture reminded Americans how relentlessly Democrats undermine it being democracy. Apparently, it's all you MAGA Republicans, you MAGA Republicans out there. I want you to listen carefully. And because he was talking to you for a good chunk of the speech last night. And if you didn't see it, well, the odds are pretty good that you wouldn't see it. Only CNN and MSNBC carried it live. Because, you know, when Baal steps up to the plate, the Baal worshipers are going to be there. That, you know, he's their guy. So CNN and MSNBC carried it live. You wouldn't see it on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, PBS. Nobody aired it. And then the whole thing was supposed to be Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, said yesterday in previewing the speech, that's a non-political speech. Wow, really? Well, let me just tee up the first excerpt. Okay, this is just the first part of the speech I want to play for you. And we'll see how it sits with you. All right, are we ready? Yeah. All right, go ahead. Which one do you think?
Today is the end of the Republic. The end of a regime that acquiesces to disorder. At this very moment, in a system far from here, the new republic lies to the galaxy while secretly supporting the treachery of the loathsome resistance. This fierce machine which you have built, upon which we stand, will bring an end to the Senate, to their cherished fleet. All remaining systems will bow to the First Order and will remember this as the last day of the Republic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That was good. Wrong speech. That was General Hux from The Force Awakens. But the same basic effect when you listen to that... And then you listen to Joe Biden, which let's tee this. I don't know that we have time because this is like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, right? This first clip. Okay. I'm going to save it for you when we come back. You're going to hear, instead of hearing from General Hux, the would-be commander of the First Order, Just kind of how Biden came across last night. And if you haven't seen the movie, The Force Awakens, General Hux, it's very Nazi-esque. He's speaking to all the different the assembled troops, right? They're all there, and there's flags all over the place, and it's black, and it's white, and it's red. So last night at Constitution Hall in Philadelphia, and how did they not get this optic? The whole area behind Biden, they set this up in front of Constitution Hall, which is a pretty wide building, but the whole area behind him is blood red. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, look at my studio. That's why we did this. My studio is blood red right now because I'm echoing what the president of the United States did last night. So that's blood red. And to see any blue, you have to go out to the wings of the building. And you don't see that for the most part when he's given the speech. So that's just optics. Who doesn't figure that out? When you're sitting there slamming essentially about 70 million Americans, calling them MAGA Republicans, you MAGA Republicans, and that you're a threat to democracy, and the whole backdrop is red. And not only that, but you've got two Marines back there at attention, right, in their dress uniform, standing back there. They should have been stormtroopers. That would have been just as subtle. But they're standing back there. And of course, some people are complaining. Even a guy on CNN's complaining, going, oh, the military, you can't. The military is not supposed to be used for political purposes. That's the politicization of the military. You can't do that. I'm like, what are you kidding? What military are you talking about? If we're going to talk about the U.S. military in the last 25 years, it's remarkably politicized. Like, why do you think the military is doing training on diversity, equity, and inclusion? Because it's completely politicized now. That's the problem with the U.S. military. Just like the Department of Justice, the FBI, or any other acronym you want to use out of Washington, D.C., completely politicized. All of it is. So the people say, I can't believe he did that. I mean, what? Really? you're surprised by that? CNN? One of the two networks that carried it live last night, CNN and MSNBC. So, again, I think it was the worst presidential speech I've ever seen. This is the worst president in my lifetime. The worst policies, the worst results. And because they don't want to talk about that, everything, once again, talk about Trump derangement syndrome on full display last night. It's all you MAGA Republicans out there at the licking the boot of Donald Trump. You're a threat to democracy. You're the threat to America, not progressive Democrat liberals. They're not a threat. He, wink, wink. It's you MAGA Republicans out there. You're the real threat. You don't care about the Constitution. You don't care about your fellow man. You don't care about the rule of law because, you know, 800 to 1,000 of you did basically an adult panty raid on the Capitol building on January 6th. And by the way, I'm not excusing that, but to call that an insurrection is ridiculous. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Okay, all hail Emperor Biden. All hail Emperor Biden. That's the name of the show today. Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you talking about the worst presidential speech in my lifetime, or the worst president in my lifetime, the most divisive presidential speech in my lifetime, probably one of the most divisive political speeches I've heard in a long time, and how much of it was him versus other people versus him on Adderall or whatever they have to get him on late in the evening to have enough energy to go through it. And shake his fists and do all the things that he did while the building behind him, the Constitution Hall, was bathed in blood red light, the middle part, the main part. And then if you wanted a little blue, you had to go out to the wings of the building to see that. Or a little white, you had to go all the way up to the top, you know, where Nicolas Cage was up there trying to steal the Declaration of Independence again. And so that's what it looked like. Just terrible optics. Then you add to the optics. Well, I'm going to let you listen to it yourself. Are we ready to go with the Emperor Biden in there? Okay, this is just a little over a two-minute clip, right? This is pretty meaty, and this is, in essence, the whole feel of the whole speech, which was about 26 to 28 minutes long. All right, let's go.
But first, we must be honest with each other and with ourselves. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear. Very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. These are hard things. But I'm an American president, not a president of red America, blue America, but of all America.
It's good. It's a good one.
And I believe it's my duty, my duty to level with you, to tell the truth, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful. And here, in my view, is what is true. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. Mm. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. And they're working right now, as I speak, in state after state, to give power to decide elections in America to partisans and cronies, empowering election deniers to undermine democracy itself. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country.
Wow. Tell us what you really think. I mean, don't hold back there, Joe. I mean, come on out. I mean, you're from Scranton, right? You know how to fight. So that how does that make you feel if you're a Trump voter? Are you parsing his words there? Is there MAGA forces, MAGA Republicans? Now, today they're trying to walk it all back. Jean-Pierre, whatever her name, who's got to be, this is going to sound really unchristian of me, the dumbest White House press secretary I've ever seen. I mean, literally, I'm like, how did this woman get that job? That makes no sense to me. Because she just, it's just not, her driveway doesn't make it all the way to the street. Okay, I'm trying to be nice. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer, not the brightest lamp on the street, all that kind of stuff. And today she's like, no. You know, it wasn't a political speech and it wasn't talking about all those people. He was only talking about MAGA Republicans that are already in office in Congress. That's all he was talking about. Really? That's not what he said, Jean-Pierre? He said MAGA forces, MAGA Republicans, no clarification whatsoever. None. So they're backing it up today. They're trying to walk it back. But that bad boy is out of its cage and ain't going back in. Biden, who delivered the strident 24-minute speech in front of Philadelphia's Independence Hall with glowing red backlighting and U.S. Marines at his side, told reporters Friday today he did not mean to impugn all Trump supporters as insurrectionists. Are you Trump supporters feeling impugned or not? Quote, when people voted for Donald Trump and support him now, they weren't voting for attacking the Capitol, Biden said. They weren't voting for overruling the election. They were going for a philosophy he put forward. He added that he doesn't consider just any Trump supporter to be a threat to the country and said his speech was only directed at Trump supporters who support violence or deny that he won the 2020 election fairly. But your White House press secretary, sir, Jean-Pierre, said it was only directed at MAGA Republicans who are elected officials in Congress. So which is it of these three options that we're at right now? I do think, he said, anyone who calls for the use of violence, fails to condemn violence when it's used, refuses to acknowledge an election that has been won, insists upon changing the way in which the rules and we count votes, that is a threat to democracy. That's kind of funny. There's no question that the Republican Party today is, this is a direct quote from what he said, is dominated, driven, intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. Steve Doocy from Fox News said, do you believe that all Trump voters are a threat to the country? No, I don't believe they're all a threat to the country. Really, sir? Well, let me read to you what you said last night on the teleprompter in the speech, and you said it multiple times. Quote, there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans, and that is a threat to this country. You said that they're a threat to this country. MAGA Republicans. Which, how would you even define a MAGA Republican? To me, a MAGA Republican is a Republican that's really supportive of Donald Trump. Anybody, if you own a MAGA hat, MAGA shirt, MAGA flag, MAGA anything, you're a MAGA Republican. I don't consider myself a MAGA Republican. I voted for Trump twice. I think he accomplished some amazing things with his presidency. It was great for the country. And then there's all the other stuff. So, I've never owned a MAGA hat. I wouldn't wear a MAGA hat because I'm not going to bow down and feel, and this is me, this is my conscience, this is Steve Noble talking. I'm not talking about you. For me, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to just, especially when a hat or a shirt or that MAGA thing is really tied to the man. And I'm not comfortable, I'm not going to worship any man. Like, that's how it feels to me. I can't judge your heart or your mind or your motivation. I can just tell you, for me, I'm not going to put on a red MAGA hat. Because I'm like, no, I'm going to stay above the fray. That's partially why I do what I do. It's how I teach what I teach. I'm coming in not as a Republican or a Democrat. I'm coming in as a Christian with a certain standard of truth determined by the word of God, which I try to live out and often fail. And then I try to apply it on this show and in social media and when I'm teaching. That's the deal. That's my allegiance. So for me to wear a MAGA hat, that's also why I changed my voter record about 8 years ago to independent, to pretty much to remind myself that I really only have one king. My capital K kingdom supersedes my little K kingdom. I'm a Christian before I'm an American. Okay? That's the deal. Ah, Steve, that's really disappointing. Really? Oh, go listen to somebody else then. That's my deal. I'm a Christian before I'm an American. But I am a patriot and I love this country. And I've been engaged in fighting the culture war and for the soul of the nation since 2004. But I'm not going to worship it. More on this when we come back, right after this. Welcome back. All hail Emperor Biden. All right, that's how it kind of felt last night. That's why my studio, if you're on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, or you can get there, the Steve Noble Show page on either, you'll see, wow, Steve, what's with all the red in the studio? Well, I got a picture of the president behind us, clenched fists with a wall of red behind him. If they were thinking at all, especially given the nature and the tone of this speech, you would have put red, white, and blue all over the wall behind him. Not red. And people are like, hey, there was some blue and some white there too. Right, blue on the wings, which you couldn't hardly see, and then white up on the bell tower on the Constitution Hall where Nick Cage was up there trying to find Benjamin Franklin's glasses. Other than that, I mean, it's just the optics are terrible, and he's like trying to be tough, so he just comes across as a mean old guy. And then he's going after, you know, arguably tens of millions of Americans, you MAGA Republicans who supported Trump and still likes him. Right. Kevin McCarthy came out and said he gave a speech about 2 hours earlier, a preemptive thing from Biden's. He went to Scranton, Pennsylvania, where Biden lived for, I don't know, a couple of years, accused the president of waging his own assault on democracy. Here's what McCarthy said. Joe Biden and big tech colluded to silence your freedom of speech and shut down your voice on the largest communication platforms in the world. That's true. That is an assault on democracy, McCarthy said. Right, let's just go back to Twitter, did it to Alex Berenson, and then Facebook, that came out on Joe Rogan with Mark Zuckerberg just about a week ago when Zuckerberg's like, yeah, we were contacted by the FBI, and they said there was a bunch of bad Russian information coming our way. Oh, now we don't believe it. And that was when the Hunter Biden laptop stuff came out, and so they dialed it all down. Then Zuckerberg tried to claim the high ground, and he said, well, we're not like Twitter. We didn't just, like, shut it down. We just decreased. People could still see it and they could still share it, you know, like four or five people out of 50 million. So that's a joke. That's exactly what they're doing. So McCarthy's right there. He goes on. Joe Biden and his Department of Justice labeled concerned parents who speak at school board meetings as domestic terrorists. That's correct. That's an assault on democracy. Joe Biden has unilaterally rewritten the immigration laws of the United States, defying Congress and the Constitution that binds us all. That is an assault on democracy. Also true. Joe Biden's government has shielded his family and his administration from accountability of abuses of power and foreign dealings of his son for personal gain. That's an assault on democracy, McCarthy continued. Joe Biden and the politicized Department of Justice launched a raid on the home of his top political rival, Donald Trump. That's an assault on democracy. Well said, Kevin. What else was said? Let's see. Oh, Trump. Trump blasts Biden MAGA speech. Quote, he put this up on Truth Social. Quote, someone should explain to Joe Biden, slowly but passionately, that MAGA means, as powerfully as mere words can get, make America great again. If he doesn't want to make America great again, which through words, actions, and thought he doesn't, then he certainly should not be representing the United States of America, Trump wrote in a Truth Social post today. If you look at the words and meaning of the awkward and angry Biden speech tonight, he threatened America, including with the possible use of military force. He must be insane or suffering from late-stage dementia, Trump wrote in a separate post. Classic Trump. You know he's going to come out swinging. And this whole notion of who's really a threat to democracy. That's funny. I mean, really, that's cracking me up. I like this one. This was in The Federalist. Jordan Boyd, sharp young lady. Biden's democracy, in quotes, lecture reminded Americans how relentlessly Democrats undermine it. And she looks at a few different areas. Let me take you through this. This is a nation that respects free and fair elections. That's what he said last night. Mere months after Biden said the 2022 midterms could easily be illegitimate, he claimed on Thursday, "We honor the will of the people. We do not deny it." Right, so which is it, sir? Tell that to the other Democrats, including Biden's current press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, who explicitly rejected the will of nearly 63 million people in 2016 when they realized that the people's will was for Trump to run the White House. Do you remember all that? This Trump is an illegitimate president because the whole election was thrown by Russia. Russia collusion. Russia, Russia, Russia. Right? That was the Democrat Party position. But if you question an election, you're a threat to democracy. This is what progressives and Democrats do all the time. This has happened. This is normal in the world of communication. You always accuse the other side of exactly what you're doing, and then you gaslight them. If you can't see this, you're stupid. You're crazy. Come on, really? You don't see this? That's gaslighting. Blue politicians in Congress not only tried to block the certification of Trump's election in every GOP election this century, something they lambasted Republicans for doing in 2020, but they campaigned on and continue to campaign on the delusion that Trump stole the election and was an illegitimate president, right? But Biden said this is a nation that respects free and fair elections. We honor the will of the people. We do not deny it. That's funny. More Democrats denied that Trump won the 2016 election than people who claimed Biden wasn't legitimately elected in 2020. One in three House Democrats boycotted Trump's inauguration celebrations in 2017. Why? Russia, Russia, Russia. Which was all completely bogus. But truth doesn't matter. Only the narrative matters. Truth doesn't matter. That's why they're going to sit there today and say, no, Joe Biden wasn't attacking 30, 40, 50, 60 million Americans. He was only attacking the MAGA Republicans in Congress. Even though he never said that. He never said, I'm only talking about elected representatives. He was talking about you, and you know it. He knows it, too. They know it, too. Here's another one. You can't love your country only when you win. He said that last night. Tell that to all the Democrats who abandoned celebrating the 4th of July this year over the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe. Or the leftists who abandoned it far before that because, according to them and their mouthpieces in the corporate media, celebrating America's founding is racist and obsolete. Also, who said Republicans don't love their country? Americans who vote with the GRP are far more likely to express patriotism for and loyalty to the United States than any other political party. That's just statistically true. There is no place for political violence in America, period. None, ever. This one was really funny to me. Where was this belief 2 months ago when radical abortion activists violently attacked more than 80 churches and life-saving pregnancy centers and threatened to harm Republican-nominated justices following the Supreme Court Dobbs versus Jackson decision? Stop right there. This is the part that really torqued me off the most. When he's talking about political violence and threats of violence, and oh, you can't stand that. We don't do that here in America. We're Americans. He's shaking his fist with the blood red wall behind him. We don't do that. We can't stand for that. We're going to fight against that. Really? Tell that to a bunch of Supreme Court justices and all their neighbors. With all the psycho pro-aborts out there, day and night, for weeks, not to mention a planned and almost executed assassination attempt on Kavanaugh. Now, we don't want to talk about that. That was on you, sir. That's on the federal government. They were violating a federal law. You did nothing except to say, I want to encourage the political process. That was against the law. Oh, yeah, that's right. But that's the law based on the U.S. Constitution, neither of which matters to a real progressive. Neither. So he's talking about we can't stand for political violence, yet there was the threat of violence outside United States Supreme Court justices' homes day and night for weeks. Are you kidding me? But most Americans are clueless, which is why he can get away with this bloviating garbage like this. Because most people are just clueless, unfortunately. Where was this energy when climate rioters led an insurrection at the Department of the Interior in October of 2021? Where was this plea for peace in 2020 when rioters, looters, and vandals inflicted billions of dollars of damage on the nation's cities? Oh, yeah, that's right. There was nothing political about that, all the BLM marches, right? There was nothing there. There were no threats of violence there. And if you're white, you obviously, you're racist, so you don't get it. It took Biden months to condemn those attacks. In the meantime, his vice president pick, Kamala Harris, raised money for a fund that paid to bail out those rioters and eventually murderous felons to walk the streets again. That was in Minneapolis. They raised, I think, $30 million and spent about $600,000 on bail and then pocketed the rest. That was BLM. And that's why they could go and then buy mansions, right? Where was this exhortation when Democrats such as Hillary Clinton, Cory Booker, and Maxine Waters repeatedly called for violence against Trump and his supporters? Get in their face! Remember Maxine Waters? You get in their face! Yeah! And I think Schumer did that from the steps of the Supreme Court. Please. This is exactly what they do. What you're guilty of, it's misdirect. Misinformation. Hello, Facebook, Twitter. It's misdirect. You accuse the other side of exactly what you're doing. By the way, that's Saul Alinsky. Rules for radicals. So there you go. Here's another one. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. That's what he said, right? That's what he said. It's Democrats and their henchmen in the FBI and the DOJ who regularly advance extreme, unpopular agendas and actions such as unlimited abortion, banning voter ID, colluding with big tech to censor Americans, targeting January 6 protesters, and raiding the former president's home without giving a clear, legitimate explanation. But sure, blame the baby-loving, pro-election, security, freedom of speech Republicans for the downfall of the nation. And the last one. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. Deep state actors and Democrats like to use no one is above the law to justify their targeting of Trump and Republicans. But that shtick is all a lie, and a majority of Americans know it. If Democrats and their bureaucrat buddies cared about the rule of law, Biden, his son Hunter, and the rest of his family would be properly scrutinized for their financial ties to foreign oligarchs. Hillary Clinton and her staff would have had to pay for their 91 security violations for mishandling highly classified information. Illegal border crossers would be punished for violating the law. Election lawbreakers would do time for meddling. All of the Russian hoaxers would be fired, charged, and possibly imprisoned for lying about and spying on Trump. But they aren't. Because Democrats like Biden have deemed those people above the law and unworthy of proper investigation and possible prosecution. This is not about the rule of law anymore, ladies and gentlemen. It's about political will. And they have a lot of it. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. No. You can't. Plays music like that. We're supposed to be hailing Emperor Biden today after that speech last night, bathed in red, which is why if you're on Facebook or YouTube today and you're looking at our studio, you're like, what's that all about, Steve? What? I'm just falling in line with the presentation of the president last night. It was at the back wall there. It was bathed in red as Biden gave this really kind of whacked out speech, calling all of you MAGA Republicans the end of democracy, basically, that we have to deal with you guys one way or another. It's like you said the other day, you know, to people, if you think, you know, your guns, well, we have F-15s. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, I don't know at what stage he's at in dementia or whatever it is, but he's in there somewhere. The man just should not be president. And I'm not making fun of him. I think you would say this about your mom, your dad, your grandfather, your grandmother. You'd be like, oh, that's sad. Oh, man. That's really, golly. And then somebody like this is the president of the United States? Set that aside. Just look at their willingness to give the speech he gave last night. Unbelievable. I think it's the worst presidential speech I've ever heard by the worst president I've seen in my lifetime. Attacking 20, 30, 40 million Americans. Do you consider yourself a MAGA Republican? You love Trump. You support Trump. You got a MAGA hat. You voted for him twice. I voted for him twice. Am I a MAGA Republican? I'm sure they would say I am. I don't consider myself one, but I'm sure they would say I am one. Thursday evening, President Joe Biden. This is this Daily Wire article. The soul of Joe Biden's America is dark as hell. That's the title. Thursday evening, President Joe Biden delivered a supposedly non-political speech. which he demonized half the country as threats who represent a clear and present danger to our nation. It's a direct quote. The entire speech was evident that the soul of Joe Biden's America is dark as hell. Biden, standing before Independence Hall in Philadelphia, made it clear that he believes you can only be pro-democracy if you agree with his leftist agenda. The president illustrated in the starkest terms possible that he believes the Democratic Party represents enlightenment, truth, and justice. Just push those 60 million dead baby bodies under the rug. On the other hand, he thinks that the MAGA wing of the GOP, which is approximately 74 million people, based on the 2020 election results, represents dark, ignorant creatures prowling about the country sowing violence. That's not hyperbolic. Here's what he said, quote, "And now America must choose to move forward or to move backward, to build a future or obsess about the past, to be a nation of hope and unity and optimism or a nation of fear, division, and darkness." What? That's exactly the picture he was painting last night. Fear, division, and darkness with a blood red background flanked by two Marines. Wow. I mean, it was like right out of an Emperor Palpatine scene from Star Wars. MAGA Republicans have made their choice, he said. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. But together we can choose a different path, he claimed. In other words, follow him or be seen as an enemy to America. This is the Daily Wire article from Tim Meads. Biden also claimed, quote, "While the threat to American democracy is real, I want to say as clearly as we can, we are not powerless in the face of these threats. We are not bystanders in this ongoing attack on democracy. There are far more Americans who reject the extreme MAGA ideology than those who accept it. And folks, it's within our power. It's within our hands to stop the assault on American democracy." That's why Trump said he's basically threatening violence. That's what it sounds like, right? That's what it sounds like. Is that above reproach? Of course it isn't. One would hope the president was referring to the ballot box. Yet another takeaway could be that the president is ready and willing to use force against MAGA Republicans if necessary to protect democracy. He is, after all, the commander-in-chief. By repeatedly slamming MAGA Republicans, the speech was completely political, even though Jean-Pierre, whatever her name is, yesterday before the speech said, "This is not a political speech. This is about democracy." Okay, Emperor Palpatine. Yet in the lead-up to the president's screed of hate, right, there you go, White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain claimed that the speech wasn't political. Quote, "They defend freedom, equality, democracy," Klain said of leaked excerpts, which revealed the president would attack MAGA. "They are as political as Ben Franklin, saying in 1787 that the framers had given us a republic, if you can keep it." Right. As columnist David Marcus explained earlier in the day, quote, "The White House and leftists actually believe this isn't political. They are so certain of their..." This is really sharp. Okay, listen. "They are so certain of their moral superiority that political differences no longer exist to them. Only good people and bad people do," he added. It's exactly right. That's why if you take conservative positions, especially if you bathe them or back them up at all with a biblical worldview, you're just a bad person. You're dangerous. You're psychotic. You're homophobic, transphobic, all the phobics out there, racist, obviously, bigoted, obviously, and a threat. That's how they see you. So I hear Isaiah out there saying, "What are those who call good evil and evil good?" And by the way, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not baptizing the Republican Party. You can't, because the Republican Party is made up of human beings, just like the Democrat Party. Therefore, it is sinful at its core from its sin nature, okay? But the plank of the Republican Party, the platform of the Republican Party, isn't nearly as offensive to the Word of God as the Democrat Party. And then the effects and the efforts and the laws and the progressive ideology and agenda of the Democrat Party is radically offensive to a biblical worldview, whereas the Republican Party is not. Offensive here and there, but holy moly, you're comparing a mouse to an elephant. Well, that's an interesting comparison. So, give me a break. They're so certain of their moral superiority. And that's just elitist to the core. Biden's demagoguery was undoubtedly one of the most vitriolic speeches ever given by a president. The message is obvious. Agree with him or face the heavy hand of the U.S. government under his watch. And we're certainly seeing that, aren't we? FBI, DOJ, don't go to it. Hey, you don't want any trouble with our government? Just don't go to a school board meeting. You'll be fine. Here's Bill O'Reilly's article. It was strange. Old Joe Biden standing outside Independence Hall in Philadelphia, warning Americans their freedom is in peril. Warm summer night, Labor Day weekend upon us, few following the news cycle. But the president was on a mission. Internal Democrat polling now shows a looming disaster in November midterm elections. Even weak Republican candidates like Herschel Walker in Georgia and Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania have a chance to win. Despite pro-Biden propaganda spewing from the corrupt media, the House is likely to be painted red. The leftists running Joe know this. In December of 1944, Hitler was just about finished. His troops decimated, the German people demoralized, but the Führer was not going quietly. He massed his Western troops and attacked through Belgium, pushing back Allied forces. The Nazi land advance was called the Bulge, because they pushed back in the middle of the American-European lines. Okay, and that's when Patton comes in. So the Battle of the Bulge. They bulged in the middle. Okay, just get that visual. General George Patton saved the day, as chronicled vividly in my book, Killing Patton. That's Bill O'Reilly writing this. The Philadelphia speech on Thursday is President Biden's counterattack. His administration is failing miserably. His policy is disastrous for most Americans, obviously. So now, a final offensive before the November vote. Only CNN and MSNBC ran the speech live because it was a partisan exercise, not important enough to bump young Sheldon from his spot. The president had little to say other than Donald Trump is a fascist, and so are the MAGA Republicans who support him. Yawn. Mr. Biden's offensive quickly ran out of gas, just like the German panzers. Old Joe sees a giant threat to democracy. Many Americans believe the real threat is wild inflation and non-existent problem solving. It is clear the Democrats believe their only chance in November is to run against Trump. Again, Trump, the democracy denier. Trump, the white supremacist. It's all so predictable and foolish, Bill O'Reilly writes. Those Americans who fear Donald Trump's return to power will, of course, side with old Joe. But the vast majority of we the people simply want a vibrant economy and laws enforced. That's obviously way beyond Joe Biden's capability. Democrats stand behind the president at their peril. He's the problem in this country, not Trump. So that's Bill O'Reilly making great points, as usual. So what do you take from this? Just don't fall for it. I'm talking about it today. I won't talk about it again. I'm giving the whole show today to this incredibly offensive, ridiculous, psychotic speech from last night. But then I'm done. And then it's back to the hard work between now and November of explaining and encouraging, explaining conservative perspectives on politics, trying to have conversations with conservative candidates to help share the platform with them as much as I can, do whatever I can, to pray between now and then to get out that first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, November 8th, and vote. Vote for conservative people that still believe the Constitution is a guiding document that we can trust for the United States of America, for people that care about our kids enough to go give up their regular lives to go serve on the school board. I've had a bunch of them in here from Wake County lately, and I'll continue to do that. And the country really is in peril. I agree with the president on that. The country is in peril, but it's not in peril because of conservatives who believe in the Constitution and the rule of law and want to see crime coming down by enforcing laws and not being soft on crime, and a group of people that believe it's still wrong to murder children in the womb and to offer a double mastectomy to a 13-year-old girl who's deeply confused, both by her own challenges and the culture. And that's one side. And then the other side is the exact opposite of all of that. And that imperils the nation. And so you have to be engaged. You have to be informed. You have to pray, and you got to vote. And then remember, no matter which way the cookie crumbles, that God is still in charge. And if you know him through his son, Jesus, this is all just a temporary inconvenience, as important as it is. Dear Lord, we just pray for Joe Biden and all of the others in charge. You told us to pray for those in authority over us, and we lift them up to you. First, for salvation. Second, for wisdom. And for all those that actually know you are born again, would you just give them great favor and influence in the halls of government in this nation at whatever level they serve? And we ask that in Jesus' name. See? It's easy. Praying for those in authority over us, as commanded by Scripture. Let's all make sure we're doing that. Go to pray1tim2.org, my friends over there at Capital Commission. Pray1tim2.org. Get signed up to have a prayer list for yourself every day. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.